is your name, sir?
My name is J.D. Merrick, M-E-R-R-I-C-K.
Okay, sir. And the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson will conduct your hearing, sir.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, Mr. Merrick, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. This is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I want to introduce you to the board members that will be conducting your hearing today, sir. If you're looking at your screen, to my far right is the Honorable Gail Rittenhouse. Right next to her is the Honorable Luis Quinones. And in the middle, sir, we have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is a board chair. My name is Michael Johnson, sir. I'm going to be acting as your panel chair today. And to my immediate left is the Honorable David Neal, sir. For the record, sir, could you please state your name, your ABC number for us again, please?
Yes, sir. My legal name is J.D. Merrick, M-E-R-R-I-C-K. My DOC number is 0-1-9-2-5-2.
Okay. Mr. Merrick, you appear before the Board of Executive Clemency. This is for parole to your next consecutive sentence for a 31412B. You are currently serving three consecutive life sentences, sir. You became parole eligible on June 30th of 2017 for a first-degree murder charge. If you are paroled, you will be paroled to your next consecutive sentence, which is for an armed robbery, and that is also a life sentence. And then after that, you have one other life sentence for kidnapping that will be served after your armed robbery sentence. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, sir. According to the files that we have, sir, you have received some minimal training while you have been incarcerated, and according to your plans, it says that although you will be, you are to be paroled to your next consecutive sentence, it says that you wanted to live and die in Green Valley, Arizona, and a rabbi by the trade, and will work with you, that you are a rabbi by trade, and will work with Bruce and Tracy Rapp at Jews for Jesus, P.O. Box 6097, for your spiritual growth and a meditation, sir. Is that right?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Okay. So as I was looking through your records before I go into some other information, I saw something in your Ames report that was back in September of 2015, which says there was a felony warrant they received from Santa Cruz, California for escape, sir. Is that still an outstanding warrant, or is that something old?
No, sir. That was, that has been since squashed, but communicated with Santa Cruz County in California. The escape is, it's kind of misleading. It was a walk away from a community, you know, like a community service program, like Salvation Army kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
They placed me in a farm, jail farm. I was doing a bit of time, and rather than go to, I was just waiting for a bit to become available, and rather go there, I just walked away. They classified that as an escape.
Okay. All right, sir. So I also see that, according to the Ames report, that your last ticket was in October of 2016. For threatening, and that was a major. What was that about, sir?
That was ultimately dismissed on appeal.
Okay.
I had enrolled to go to a seminary college, theological seminary college, and approximately 2 months into my enrollment, I had learned that the person that he was running with the school was actually a very well-known felon, a notorious felon, and that he was, it was a scam he was playing. I sent him a letter, and basically it said to him, listen, what you're doing is wrong. I had referred to several inmates who thought that they were attending a legitimate college, and you're not accredited, your website is actually a front. In other words, I had it. My people, my family was facing the whole background check on the guy, and I told him that either he refunded the loans that these guys and myself had built, and provided them with certificates up until the point the work they had done. or that I was going to report him to the Arizona Attorney General's office. Their lawyer, this guy's lawyer, contacted Charles Ryan Central Office and told them that I was extorting them, that if I didn't, if they didn't provide me with refunds for me and these other people, the certificates that I was going to report them to the AG, and Mr. Ryan notified the complex and told them to put me on report. Ultimately, on appeal, that was dismissed.
Okay, sir. So, according to the pre-sentence report that we have, this offense occurred on July 11, 1992, at approximately 11:30 p.m. when Kim and/or Mr. Logan kidnapped a young man at gunpoint, a 25-year-old male victim, from his grip outside a fast food restaurant. Subsequently, he was taken to an ATM machine where he was forced to remove $200 from the automatic teller. He then drove him to an area to Silver Bell Mine in northwest of Tucson. And then it says that either Kemp or Logan and the victim exited the truck and walked approximately 75 feet into the desert. Then Kemp or Logan had the victim disrobe, after which the victim was shot one or more times in the head. And then Kemp or Logan returned to Tucson. Said that there were guys remaining in Tucson. And there's some additional information that says that you went to Blackstaff, and while in Blackstaff, you befriended a couple, and convinced them to give you a ride to Winslow, Arizona, and then Albuquerque, New Mexico. And en route to New Mexico, it says that Kemp pulled out a 380 and a handgun, and apparently purchased it in Blackstaff, held it to the male driver here and told him to drive to Denver, Colorado. While in Colorado, it says that Kemp sexually assaulted the driver while you assaulted the driver's girlfriend. Sir, is any of that story about what occurred not true? Or?
It's fairly accurate, except the last part. There was never a sexual assault by me on behalf of anybody. In fact, if there had been, I guarantee you I would have been charged with that crime. But that's not the thing. I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous. I take ownership of all the poor decisions that I made back in 92. But I promise you, if you believe anything, there was no sexual assault.
Okay. So, sir, this is your first time coming before the Board of Executive Clemency. Am I right on that, sir?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So, Mr. Logan, in your own words, why don't you tell the board what was going on in your mind and how this incident occurred, why it occurred?
Yes, sir. Let me premise what I'm about to say, but I'm not going to make any excuses for my actions. I was a young man, had met another person about serving time in California prison. I was there for the police and the theft. And he had told me that he was getting out soon, that he was just there for a parole violation. We had discussed the possibility of making claims that we were going to start our own business, that we were going to go to Mexico. We were both familiar, I had traveled to Mexico numerous times and a lot of us. When I decided that I wasn't going to go to the Salvation Army program, I left the jail camp and walked away. The plan was to come out here to Arizona to meet up with him. We were going to go down to Mexico. He had promised me through communication correspondence that he already had money. He just needed to make sure that his elderly mom, who was, I guess, in the early 90s at the time, lived in a poor neighborhood trailer park, that she was protected. I believe everything he was telling me, and the long story of it is I was sitting in a hotel down the street from where he and his mom were residing. The plan was he was going to come pick me up at the restaurant across the street where I was staying. And he arrived. Mr. Warren, the victim, was in the truck already with him. And you know the rest. I never intended robbery or kidnapping or anything happened after that. In fact, when he demanded that I grab the truck with him, he had promised that, you know, he wasn't going to hurt anybody. Of course, as this board knows, that wasn't the case. Those of you also know, as you see in the records, that given the first opportunity, when we were able to get to Denver, Colorado, I was the one that facilitated the escape and made sure that the couple that was with me, that they were free, and we immediately called the police to tell them what had happened and where Mr. Kemp was at that time. Lastly, sir, if I can just say this, I go along with that, and I'm not asking for proof. I'm not asking for the board's mercy. I know that I'm kept. I know that I'm going to die in prison. I know that I'm going to ruin my life. So if you figure that out, I just want everybody to know that I'm really, really sorry. I'm sorry to the family and to everybody else. There's no excuse for the choices that I made back then. And I've been trying to live my life since then positively to help my other inmates. I guess there's really nothing more I can say except that I'm deeply sorry.
Okay, I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions, sir. It does show the amount of time that you've been incarcerated, sir, that you do have a very limited amount of discipline and tickets that you actually have received while you have been incarcerated. So I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions for you at this time.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Same additional questions coming from the board, Mr. Merrick. I'm going to see if you have anything else you'd like to say to the board before we go into discussion.
I just thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for really just allowing me to apologize if there's anybody there who I have impacted, they know what you're concerned with or anything. I'm really sorry.
Okay.
And that's really my whole purpose of coming to that resistance, but those people know.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, Mr. Merrick, the board is going to go into discussion. So while the board is in discussion, I'm going to ask you to remain on the phone now, to remain silent while the board is in discussion. So then we'll get back with you with the results of the decision that the board has made. Okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Okay. The board is in discussion. We listened to Mr. Merrick, and he's truly sound, remorseful, and regretful for what he's done. However, he's facing three consecutive life sentences. For the crime that he was involved in, if he was paroled to his next consecutive sentence, it would be to another 25 years of life sentence, and he has another 25 year to life sentence to do after that. I would be comfortable with promoting him to his next consecutive life sentence. However, before I would parole him to that, he would have to honor get paroled to his next consecutive life sentence, as well as take some plans or actions while he's incarcerated to do it. And according to Mr. Merrick's own statement, he just feels he'll be in there the rest of his life, and he doesn't want or deserve to be out, and he wants to take this opportunity to apologize and be remorseful and regretful for what his actions are. Therefore, I'm not in favor of paroling him to his next consecutive sentence. However, I am willing to listen to the rest of the board. Mr. Quinones.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I agree with you. I think you articulated that quite well, and as one individual voting board member, I've heard what he has to say about his accountability and his remorse. I do have a personal issue with paroling him from the murder. It seems like that is at center stage of this, and I'm just not comfortable. I recognize that it's two more life sentence, but the I'm not comfortable with paroling him in that sentence.
Okay. Any more? Anyone else on the board has anything? Okay, so at this point, I'm going to make the motion to deny paroling Mr. Merrick to his next consecutive sentence at this time, and I'm going to ask for a 1-year set off. That will be my motion.
Agreed.
Second.
Agreed. Agreed.
Oh, and who seconded?
Dr. Ryan.
Pardon me. Agreed.
Okay, Mr. Merrick, the board is voted to deny paroling to the next consecutive sentence, sir. Sir, I do want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity to come and appear before the board. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time, Mr. Merrick. Again, thank you for taking the opportunity and the time to appear before this board.
Yes, thank you, I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Board members, we'll go on lunch break for 1 hour. We'll be back at 12:30. That pleases the board. Yeah, 12:30.